and their parents for what they've been through over the last, you know, 4 years of their life, finishing high school, and we have one college graduate with us today as well. So I know it's a busy time of the year for everybody. I know especially for the seniors and their parents. I know even now some are getting ready for graduation parties, and, you know, the last few weeks of school are always hectic, trying to get, you know, awards things done and yearbooks signed and all of those things. And, you know, there's just a lot of things going on in the life of the graduates, you know, getting ready for college or trade schools or their career. And so we'd just like to take, you know, a few minutes in the middle of May every year and just pause and recognize what they've been through and where they are right now. And so just to recognize the achievement of completing both high school and college. And so I know, you know, for some students that are finishing high school, you know, high school was a time where they, you know, worked as hard as they could to get the best grades that they could, to get into the school that they wanted. You know, some just, did the best they could to pass their classes and get out of high school. You know, others just kind of were just counting the days until they could be done with school altogether. And I think we all kind of fall in one of those places or maybe somewhere, in between. And so, you know, but I was just thinking this week as I was getting ready to share about graduation and just thinking back on my own graduation and things like that, that, you know, when we're, from the time we're born, there's a lot of, structure in our life. You know, some of that is, you know, implemented through our families and our parents and our home life. Some of that is through school. You know, we've got, you know, you show up at a certain time and lunch is at a certain time and you get out, you know, at a certain time. And we have these, clear beginnings and endings. You know, we start elementary school and, you know, parents are taking pictures of their kids on the first day of kindergarten. And you know, then there's the, you know, we move up to middle school and we move up to high school and we get our driver's license. We get our first job. And, you know, there's all these, you know, fairly structured and established, beginnings and endings, to certain, you know, things in our life. And, when we get to, you know, our graduation from high school, you know, that's kind of the last, structured ending of something. Of course, if you go to college, there's, you know, there's that as well. And, you know, many will go on and get married and have children and things, but, you know, there's not a set timeline to those things and they're not as structured as our life is, as we go through school. And I know some of the kids that are graduating today have been in sports or activities through school. And even with those, you know, we have the beginning of a season of football or wrestling or band or whatever the activity or the sport is. And then we get to the end of that season and, you know, it's always like, hey, we're going to, you know, we'll come back next year and we'll, you know, we'll do better or let's build on what we did this year. And so there's a lot of those kind of structures in place and we have the camaraderie with our, you know, teammates or our you know, the people that are participating in these activities with us. And, you know, after graduation, those things kind of, fade away and, you know, we start jobs and we get involved in our careers and we don't have, you know, that set structure anymore. And so, for that reason and many others, you know, graduation is a bittersweet time. For the students, it's mostly sweet right now. You know, and then maybe as you look back on, you know, things of, you know, not seeing friends again or not being in the same teacher's classes and some of those things, you know, the memories and things that, that we leave behind when we graduate high school. And I know for the parents, it's, you know, even, probably more on the bitter end than the sweet end. As far as that, those things go, just looking back on the lives of our students. And, my oldest is in high school now. He's finishing up he just finished his freshman year. So I know I'm a few years away from experiencing this, but for those of you guys who have had kids that have graduated, you know, you can remember, that bittersweet time that it is. And for the students, I know this is your first time doing it, with the exception of our college graduates done this, a couple times before, but, you know, it is a bittersweet time. And so enjoy it. You know, be excited about what is next in the next chapter of your life. And I'll be sharing some of that with you guys here in just a moment, as far as what the students have got planned for their futures. But, you know, last Sunday, during our 9 o'clock hour, I had a meeting for all of our parents and, for our incoming sixth grade students that's when they join our ministry is when they come into sixth grade and we have them all the way up through high school. And, our theme verse for our class, it's called You Grow. And, it's Ephesians 4:14-15. And it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so every year when we have this meeting, I share that verse. I remind the students of it throughout the year. When students enter our ministry and going into their sixth grade year, they're 11 or 12 years old. And by the time they leave our ministry, they're 18. So all the people I'm going to bring up here are adults in the eyes of, you know, the law. And when they join our ministry, though, they're children. And our goal in our ministry, and I know for the parents as they raise their kids, is that they're not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's so many things that these students are going to encounter as they move on to college and they get into their careers and things that the world is going to throw at them. And as people who have been through that, we know, the adults in this room know what that means. And so it's important for us to have an established, you know, foundation. It's important for the students to have an established foundation in their life, and that foundation needs to be Christ. And so we do our best as a ministry, and I know the parents do their best to raise their children to have that solid foundation, so that when they're presented with the things that the world has to offer, that they're not going to be easily swayed, or they're not going to be tossed about. They're going to know what the truth is and what they can stand on. And so that's our prayer as grow student ministry leaders, myself and Nick and Kendra Laverne. And so we pray for the students that would be the case for them. And so we want to, and we're not in charge of this. God's in charge of this, and the parents are next in line. We're further down the line, but our goal is to see these students launch and hit the target that God has for them. And so I'm going to call the graduates up one by one, and I'll read as they come up. I'll read off. Every year we give them a questionnaire, and we just kind of ask them, you know, what they have planned in their life next, and, you know, are they going to school, and what does that look like, and just a few questions for them to answer so that we can share with you guys what's going on in their life. So as I call your name, students, come on up, and then if the parents could stand, my wife has a bouquet of flowers for the moms, and so if you stand, that would make it easier for her to find you. So our first graduate is Amy Tabora. Her parents are Leonel and Aminta Tabora. She's graduating from Harrisonville High School. Yeah, you can clap for each one. So we asked them if they plan to attend college after high school. Amy is attending college. She's going to go to Grand Canyon University. And her plans following graduation is she's going to attend Grand Canyon University this upcoming fall to get her BSN to become a pediatric nurse. And then we asked them if they feel like God is calling them to anything specific. She says yes, she feels like God is calling her to help and care for people during difficult moments in their lives. I want to make people feel safe, supported, and cared for when they need it most. And then the last question we asked them is if they're willing to say anything. And all five of our graduates this year said no. So Amy will not be saying anything, but she will stand here and wait for our next graduate, which is Dylan Freehoff, if Dylan will start making his way up here. So Dylan's parents are Richard and Carla Freehoff, and they're going to get two shout-outs because they have a college graduate as well. He's graduating from Marion Hope Academy. He does not plan to attend college. His post-grad plans are to find a trade to work in to support ministry and life. Do you feel God is calling you to anything specific? He says yes, to be in the ministry in some way. So the first time I met Dylan was a year ago at our vision conference, and we had a student portion of our vision conference. So when you guys are in here on Monday and Tuesday nights, the students are out in our classroom, and we have the missionaries come out there and a little bit more of a, you know, small group environment, and we can ask them questions and stuff. And Dylan was very diligent to seek out the missionaries afterwards to ask them about being a missionary or getting involved in ministry. So that was the first time I ever met Dylan, was last year at that vision conference. So I know he has plans to be involved in ministry excuse me, in some capacity. So our next graduate is Bryson Jacobs. Bryson's parents are Brad and Jill Jacobs, and he's graduating from Adrian R3 School District. He plans to attend college at Texas A&M. He plans to study kinesiology and to throw the javelin. So if you know anything about Bryson, he is a great javelin thrower, although he's injured at the moment. He plans to do that in college at Texas A&M. He does not feel like God's calling him to anything specific at this time. The next one we have is Garrett Paris. Garrett's parents are Travis and Tammy Paris. He is also graduating from Harrisonville. Thank you. After high school, he plans to go to college at UMKC. And his postgraduate plans, he's going to work over the summer to make a dent in student loans. I assume that means to lower the amount of student loans. Hopefully he doesn't have high school student loans already. So he's going to work over the summer to make a dent in that. And then he's going to pursue a degree in biology at UMKC. As far as God calling him to anything specific, he says he feels God is calling him to be in the medical field, to be a family medicine doctor. So that's Garrett Paris. Our last one here is Connor Freehoff. He is graduating from college. His parents, also Richard and Carla. So he graduated from UMKC with his master's degree. It's a master's of science in mechanical engineering with an emphasis on robotics and control systems design. That's the longest degree I've ever read, I think. He obviously does not plan to attend college. He's done with that. His post-grad plans, he is job searching for positions in the mechanical engineering industry. So if you know anybody, hit up Connor. He doesn't feel like God's calling him to anything specific at this time, but he does have a good number of options ministry-wise. So he also wants to get involved in ministry in some capacity. So while I have all the graduates up here, I want to kind of give one final charge to them and to us as the body here before I let them sit down. So I'm excited to see what God does in each of their lives. Obviously, they, you know, some of them are planning to go to college. They're looking for careers. Some of them want to get involved in ministry. One cool thing I was thinking about just this morning as I was looking over our list, all four of our high school graduates right now are currently being discipled here at this church, which is really unique. I think in all the years I've done this, I don't think that's been the case. So I know that all four of them are currently being discipled. So, you know, hopefully that can continue depending on, you know, college and all of that. But I just think it's cool that you know, God's working in their life and they are interested in following the Lord, all of them. And I don't mean to exclude Connor, but I just know the high school graduates are all in discipleship right now. And so for our church body, for you guys that are seeing this or listening, you know, it's our job to pray for these guys. So I've given you a little bit about what's going on in their life. Obviously, there's a lot more that you can talk to them about, but just remember to pray for them. If you've had students that have graduated before, you know what like this time is like for them. And so, you know, just remember them in your prayers as they go off to college and get involved in their careers and start families and all of those things. You know, some of them will stick around here for a while. Some will not because they'll be off at college. But just remember to pray for these guys. And then, you know, for the graduates, you know, like that verse that I just read a minute ago about being established and having a foundation, my prayer for you guys is that you guys stay serving the Lord, you stay following him, you stay with the foundation that you have, which is Christ, and that you, you know, as you leave mom and dad's house and you get out into the real world, that, you know, those things don't sway you guys and knock you off course, and, you know, things are going to be thrown at you for sure, especially those of you guys that are going to college. You know, that lifestyle, it can pull away from what God has for you. And so my challenge for you guys is just to stay following the Lord and not be swayed by those things. So just remember to put on the whole armor of God daily. And I thought about reading that passage, but for time's sake, I'm not going to read Ephesians chapter 6. But, you know, that is just so important for us, even all of us, but especially for the graduates, to put on the whole armor of God daily. So with that, I'm going to pray, and then you guys can be seated. And we'll give one more hand after I pray. Or let's go ahead and give them a hand now. All right, get all your last-minute photos, parents, or whoever else is taking pictures. I'm going to pray, and then they can be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for these graduates. God, we thank you for the memorial of just the achievement that was completed with them finishing high school and college. And God, we just are grateful for what you've done in their lives up to this point. I'm just excited to see what you're going to do in their lives going forward. God, we pray as they head off to their final summer before really entering in the next era of their life. God, we pray that you would just continue to Just help them be established in your word. Help them be established in prayer, God. Help them be established in their relationship with you, and that, God, as they start college or they start a career or they, whatever they may be doing, God, I pray that you would just be with them. Help them not to be just tossed to and fro, God. Help them to put on the whole armor of God every day, and so that they can fight off the wiles of the devil. And so, God, we just are grateful for them. We want to recognize and honor them and their parents for the accomplishment of finishing college and high school. And we just are so grateful for this opportunity. And we just ask your blessing on the rest of our service this morning. Amen. All right, you can be seated.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to see these grads. Give them some love one more time. Thank you, guys. It's amazing. Some of these we've seen in the children's ministry, and others, you know, have come to the Lord recently, and we're excited about what God's doing in their life. I'm grateful for God working, because discipleship is about the next generation, always, right? And so, we're always needing to invest in the next generation. And I really appreciate the parents, because from the time our children are born, we're investing in them. And we know we're going to let go of them, and we're going to launch them. And that's the heart of a father, isn't it? That's the heart of God the Father, who gave his son, who sent his son from heaven on a mission to die for us and accomplish that mission and receive him to himself. And so we pray that each and every one of these students, they go out and God uses their life with great purpose and brings in fruit, and much fruit, and fruit that remains. And so there's a sense in which, you know, we know it's tough out there. The world's difficult. It's the last days, no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, you know, we have Jesus Christ in our heart. We're more than conquerors. We just sing about it. I'm really praying that God uses these students to impact the culture beyond what we could ask or think, for the gospel's sake, because now's a great time to preach the gospel. A lot of people need to come to know the Lord. And speaking of gospel, I'm going to transition here to our speaker, which is Al Braley with Bearing Precious Seed. He's going to come here in just a moment and preach. And I tell you what, Al has been working with Bearing Precious Seed, I think, for over 20 years, getting the seed out of the barn. And so it's so exciting to be a part of them. So I know here at Heartland, you guys we've been pushing hard this year. And you've done a tremendous job of working on the Albanian scriptures. And, of course, if you've been keeping up with all the posts this last week, the container finally arrived. The big presentation was done, and the Bible has been presented officially and formally to the Albanian peoples. The churches are having conferences even yet, and they're going forward with the emphasis. And now teams will continue to go in. And with John and Romans and New Testaments will be coming, and we still have 12,000 whole Bibles that Bob's going to arrange us and get us mobilized to assemble here at Heartland Baptist Fellowship. And so we're excited about all of those things, and that's all made possible in part. If there was no Bearing Precious Seed, we'd be having a hard time assembling anything, because they're the ones with the web press that puts that together. And so it's a privilege, and then it's my great pleasure to invite Al Braley. Al and Penny are with us, and as Al's coming, I want to also mention Amy is here. Amy and Joe Hendricksman serve in Oaxaca, and Jeff Demarest, her father, is with us. He's a missionary in South Africa, so it's a pleasure to have you guys with us as well. We've been blessed, so give Al some love as he comes to preach the word this morning.
Church, I'd like to thank you for what you have done through the years. I got to come out here, I don't know how many years ago it was, and you were doing your Bible project, and I think every room around here had something going on in it, and they took me out back to, I think you call it the armory, right? And they showed it to me, and I said, well, you guys are outgrowing this. You're going to have to knock a wall out. And the next time I came, the wall was knocked out, and I'm excited what God's done here, what he's doing, his word going out around the world. Thank you for what you've done and getting that Bible to Albania. Just exciting to me that we get to work together in different capacities and get to do different things. Psalm 138:2 says, I will worship the Lord Thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Isn't that amazing? God magnifies his word above his name. And we get to handle it. We get to get it out to the world, and that's exciting. Bearing precious seed has got to do a whole lot through the years. We're over 267 million scriptures printed. Now we're at 79 languages. And it's taken 53 years to get to that point. But God's done it all. We just get to be there and watch what happens. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. If you would turn there. I'm going to begin by reading verses 3 through 11. Then we'll make our points. And the graduates here, you know what's exciting? You have no idea what's ahead of you. Okay? It's all been pretty controlled up to this point. And it's exciting where God will take you, what he'll have you do. Just stay focused on him and keep him first in your life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're beginning to read in verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons. If there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. This morning, I want to look at one word. It's only one time in the Bible ever, and it's in verse 6, from which some, having swerved. You know, I saw that word, and I thought, well, I've had to swerve. My wife sits beside me when we travel, and she tells me how to drive, and sometimes I have to swerve to miss things because I'm not paying good attention. Many of us have swerved at different times, different things. We're going to look at that word this morning, but I'm going to share something with you in a few minutes, and hopefully I can keep your attention until that time. You know, there's some ways to keep from swerving from the Word of God. I believe in the verse before that, it explains that. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. You know, the heart, each one of us know inside whether we're saved or lost. We know if we've accepted Christ our Savior. But in order to keep from swerving from where you need to be, I believe you need to have a pure heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, in my lifetime, I'm starting to get a little older here, and in my lifetime, there's been people that have disappointed me. Been things happen in my life that you can tell that people have swerved a bit from where they should be. I remember as a kid, I was probably 11 years old, and come to church, and preacher get up and preach, and he preached hell hot. he was preaching, and every Sunday this one man would go forward. Every Sunday. Pastor would talk with him, he'd pray with him, and this went on for weeks. So this final week that I remember, this fellow came forward and pastor asked him if he was serious. He said, "Oh yeah, I'm serious." So the pastor stood up and he said, "Okay," he said, "Ira has been coming forward and he wants to quit smoking, and he asked us to pray for him. And we've been praying for weeks that he would quit smoking. But today he is serious." He said, "So I'm going to pray." And you know, as an 11-year-old kid, sometimes, you know, you kind of look around during prayer, and you shouldn't, but as an 11-year-old, sometimes you do. And I was looking around. Pastor started to pray, and he says, "Lord, Ira wants to quit smoking. Lord, I pray if he picks up another cigarette, you'll kill him." Well, I wasn't the only one looking around. Ira was looking around, and he's looking everywhere. But you know, he wanted to do something, but he wasn't committed to it, was he? I mean, he would say it, but in his heart, he wasn't doing it. You know, I remember that from being 11 years old. And Romans 1:12 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened." You know, we need to keep our heart where we need to keep it. We need to make sure that it's where God wants it to be. Mark 6:52, it says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Now, these are the disciples. These are the ones that have been there. They've seen the miracle, and it says their heart was hardened. What do we do to harden our heart sometimes? We don't stay focused, do we? In order to keep from swerving and going away from the doctrine and where we need to be, we need to make sure our heart is where it needs to be. Number two, to keep from varying from where we need to be, I think we need to have a good conscience. Do you like your conscience? Again, I go back to when I was a kid. I learned some things when I was young. I haven't learned much since, but I learned some things when I was young. There were cartoons, and the guy would be he would be tempted to do something wrong. And they'd have this little devil-looking guy sitting on his shoulder talking to him in this ear, and a little angel person on this side talking to him in this. That's kind of like what your conscience is, isn't it? So, you know, the Bible says a lot about conscience. 1 Timothy 1:19, it says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. We need to pay attention to our conscience. 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, not just the graduates, but everybody in here, we need to continue to purge our conscience. We need to continue to focus on what God would have us to do. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. All of us here need to check our conscience daily. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You know, sometimes in the workplace, it's kind of hard to always stay positive, isn't it? You share Christ with somebody and they kind of belittle you. But you know what? That's your job. That's what God's had you do. You can't let yourself get discouraged. John 8:9, 8, chapter 8 and verse 9, it said, they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. They were convicted by their own conscience. They were accusing this woman. Jesus spoke to them, and they all went away. They weren't accusing anymore. How's your conscience today? Romans 9:1, it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Two things you need to make sure your heart's where it needs to be. You need to make sure your conscience is free of what it needs to be. Verse 5 ends up saying, and of faith unfeigned. Talking about our heart, talking about our conscience. We're talking about our faith. Second Corinthians 6:6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Unfeigned means genuine, sincere, free from hypocrisy or pretense. Faith unfeigned. 1 Timothy 1:5 we just read. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and persuaded that in thee also. Generational faith. Isn't that exciting? It was unfeigned. It was genuine. It was sincere. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. How's your unfeigned faith today? Do you have faith in Christ? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Graduates, you know, it's been quite a few years since I graduated. I remember putting that gown on and walking out there and trying to joke around. And I was always joking around, so it wasn't hard to do that. But there was 177 in our graduating class. And way back, get out of high school, and you're going to lose touch with some of the people that you've been with. You think you won't, but you will. You'll stay in touch with some of them. But you know, your witness through school and in your life, sometimes it comes back later that you know you had an impact in some way or another just by sharing the gospel. Now, when I've been out of school 10 years, they had a reunion. And they had it at a country club, and everybody showed up, and everybody that showed up, I mean, they were still not far removed from high school, so they're still acting like they were in high school. Didn't really have a real good time. My wife went with me, and she didn't know anybody there because we didn't go to the same school. And this guy walks up to me, and he pokes me in the chest, and he says, Al, you say one thing about God tonight, it's on. I thought, well, I don't know why he did that, but I must have said something about God to him somewhere along the line. One of the guys standing there said, what was that all about? I said, I have no idea. So they had some more reunions through the years, but they had them at places I wouldn't go anyway, a winery or a bar or something like that. So I didn't go to any more. Decided I wasn't going to do that. And I was asked one time, how come you don't go to the reunions? I said, because it's where you're having them. I said, I wouldn't go there any other time, so why would I go there for a reunion? So I got an invitation to our 50th class reunion. I know I don't look like I've been out of school that long. But 50th class reunion. And they were having it at a local nature center. I thought, well, I can go to the nature center. And it was just, you know, it just seemed like the right thing to do. Now, in our high, I don't know, was it like this for any of you? Did you guys have a class motto? Do any of you know if you had a class motto? Okay, we had a class motto. And our class motto was, now remember, this is 1975. 1975 is right at the end of the Vietnam War. There was hippies everywhere. I mean, I graduated with some. So it was different. But our class motto was, where do we go from here? And I hated that class motto. I mean, it was just, you know, when they put it out there, I thought, you goofy, you know, I mean, figure it out. And I hated it all the way up till 48 years and 4 months before this reunion. And I got, man, that's profound. Where do we go from here? So I went back and saw Tim, and I said, Tim, can you make me a John in Romans that says, where do we go from here? And make it look like the 70s. Well, this is what he came up with. And you know, this was at my house, and my granddaughter, who's 9 years old, she walked in and she goes, oh, what's that from the 70s? So he did a good job on the design. Now, we got out of school when this was our motto. Now, I'm going to a 50th class reunion, and I thought, I'm going to use that. So we put a John and Romans inside of this. Now, I don't know really what to expect. I mean, I've kept up with a few people that I went to school with. One in particular was our class president. Now, our class president worked for Archer Daniel Midland, whatever the seed company, a big seed company, okay? Now, Mark had advanced very rapidly. He was a vice president. There's a movie about his life, which I'm not recommending the movie. But what happened is they were fixing prices of lysine around the world. And he had been involved in all that. And so Mark decides that he's going to go to the FBI. So he goes to the FBI. They put him undercover. And Mark does this for quite some time. And they would bug this kind of seems goofy, but they would take this lamp with them everywhere. The same lamp was at every meeting they had because it was bugged. And you think somebody would catch on that light was there every time. But they did this, all right? So through all of it, Mark, and he wouldn't mind me sharing this story, that's why I'm sharing it. Mark was not only fixing lysine prices with these people, he was skimming money off the top. Now, he didn't tell the FBI that part. So when it came down to the very end, the trials and all that stuff, Mark ended up going to prison for 10 years. Now, Mark ended up in the wrong prison. He was supposed to go to some minimum security thing, and they put him in the big house. Somebody came to see Mark, and Mark got saved in that prison. He still did 10 years in prison, and his wife, they said she spent 3 years visiting him in the prison. They're still together. But Mark was our class president. So I show up at this reunion. I come in, and I've got this box. And I said, hey, Mark, I want to pass these out. He says, oh, great, because Mark came and seen the ministry before. He said, this will be great. I'll give you some time. Well, I just plan on passing them out, but I'll take the time, okay? But so they took a big class picture. Everybody's down by this lake, big picture. And, you know, all them people got really old. I don't understand it. They don't look the same. Some of them, you know. Carl had hair this long. Now he was wearing a ball cap, and his wife pulled it off so we could see his head. Never seen that before. I mean, his hair's all gone. But, you know, people changed. we took a picture. They came back up, and I didn't know this, but Mark had asked one of our other class members, his son, to come and give a testimony about his dad. His dad pastored a church. He gave the clearest plan of salvation you could give. I thought, man, this is pretty good. Then they said, we're going to have Kim's husband play a song. And he had this big sound system set up, and I thought, uh-oh, we're going from a testimony and about salvation to Led Zeppelin. That's a band back in the 70s, by the way. So he gets up and he pulls out a saxophone. I remember Led Zeppelin having a saxophone, but he started playing Amazing Grace. But man, we're at a Sunday school picnic. This is exciting. So we go inside and Mark says he's going to pray for the food, but Al's going to come up and he's going to share something with us. So I walk up front and I had this with me and I said, okay, I want to know something. I said, who came up with this motto? Deathly silent. I said, come on, somebody had to come up with this. Somebody over on the corner says, it was a committee. I said, okay, who was on the committee? Silence. I said, I never liked this. Come on, somebody had to be on the committee. And they named somebody that wasn't even there. I said, oh yeah, pick on somebody that's not here. I said, you know, I never did like this motto. I said, till a few weeks ago when I got to thinking about it. I said, you know, I wonder where we're going. I talked to him for a few minutes. And I said, you know, this became very real to me a few months ago. And I flip it on the other side. I said, these are names of everybody that's still alive, and some of you are here. These people have completed their journey. Where did they go? Where do we go from here? You know, I had no idea in 1975, a motto I hated because of how it was done would be used 50 years later. But you know, it's a question I need to ask you today. We read some verses at the beginning of the service and talked about people that had swerved. Sometimes when we come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and we know we need to accept Him as our Savior, some people swerve. We need to listen to our heart. We need to listen to our conscience. And we need to have faith, unfeigned, real faith. Let's bow our heads.
With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Heavenly Father, as we meditate on these words, where do we go from here? Lord, I pray, God, that those that are sitting here, that everyone here would know, if they died today, where they would spend eternity. What if a man would graduate high school, or a young lady graduate high school, gain the whole world and lose their own soul? What would that profit? Heavenly Father, thank you for such a poignant message, just a word fitly spoken at such a austere occasion as a graduation celebration. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this message for such a time as this. And we pray, God, that you would just speak to the hearts as only you can. From your word, Lord, if there's a conscience even now that's pricked and convicted, I pray, God, we'd listen to that. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's where you have to start. Maybe God has brought you here today and And you know what? For the first time in your life, when you think about if you were to die, where you'd spend eternity, you're being honest and go, you know, I'm going to be separated from God. I deserve hell. That's where I'll be. We can't earn it. The Bible tells us that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our very best effort leaves us short. We fall short. Even if you're the best person in the world, we fall short. We can't get there. But that's why God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. Because he is truly the way. He is the truth and he's the life. And where we're going from here depends on what we do with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ.